You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a weekly discussion with leaders around the Midwest about how they adapt and persevere in uncertain times. Now, here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, it's Gary Shorman, and welcome to our program today, Forward Ever, Leading Through Challenging Times. And of course, COVID has presented challenging times for a lot of people, and that includes running an airport. Our guest today is Jamie Salter, who's the airport director at the Hays Regional Airport. Jamie, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Yes, good to be here.
You know what? Pandemic caused all sorts of issues, I know, out at our airport. In fact, about a year ago now, flights and travel came to a complete stop, whereas in the last year, we had almost 15,000 people through. So how did you manage through that whole pandemic?
I think most airports would agree that it was all reactive. I mean, there was nothing you could do to plan for something like that. There was a time when we'd come in here where there was basically, I mean, the only vehicles in the parking lot were for employees here, because we still remained open. We're part of the city. There were departments, offices that shut down, but we aren't able to do that, you know, as a public entity and the service we provide, taking even grant money from the federal government. We can't just shut our doors here. So we did remain open. We also have Essential Air Service. I think everybody is at least familiar with the service out here with SkyWest, but they're also contractually obligated to provide that. So even through the pandemic, they had a contractual obligation with the U.S. Department of Transportation to continue to provide that. Now, they did petition the communities because there were times where they were flying and no one was on the plane. So there were times when I'd come out of my office and the only people sitting in the lobby, because they couldn't take off until a certain time when they went back to Denver, were the flight crew. There were three. I mean, the two pilots and flight attendant was all that we had, and they were just waiting to be able to turn around and go back to Denver. So that is not something you can plan for. I don't think there's any preparation. It's nice to see, the return on that. But in reality, I mean, it was a ghost town out here. And again, having to report to work, I think you can't run an airport from home. We were all here, still open. You have to make sure that things are still safe and secure. You have the same requirements that you had the year before when we flew the most passengers we've ever flown. So I think it was more a waiting game, waiting for things to even back out, waiting for people to feel more comfortable with travel, which I think, I mean, each month gets better and better. I think that people are definitely itching to get out and about. So we've definitely seen that too over the last several months.
Well, we don't want to go back to the pandemic. No. I can tell you that. Let's not go back there. That sort of thing. But
that's right.
I look at the parking lot when I go out there, and you go through the parking lot. The parking lot has been overflowing, which means yes, there's a lot of people getting on airplanes, flying different places. And I know earlier this month, SkyWest gave notice that they were going to discontinue their flights. Where are we at on that process right now?
The U.S. Department of Transport. So, like I said before, the SkyWest is part of the Essential Air Service program, which basically connects small communities, to the larger air transportation network in terms of air travel. So you typically have to fly to at least one hub, where you can have those connections to all areas around the world. We're part of the Essential Air Service program. Our community is eligible for that, but the contractual obligation was with the carrier and the U.S. Department of Transportation. With that being said, there's obviously language in there that allows somebody to terminate in a certain amount of time or how to do that. In past years, if they couldn't provide the service or, had problems internally with their business, there is language in there to be able to get out of those contracts. They're usually 2 or 3 years. Ours is for 3 years. It just started last year in, it was actually August 1st. So we're not quite through our first year, but the 90-day notice is basically what SkyWest is required to provide to the community and to the U.S. Department of Transportation. As soon as the DOT actually issued a hold-in order. So that requires SkyWest to continue to provide the same contractually obligated service, which is 12 flights each week. They go to Denver, but they're required to do that until we find a replacement carrier. Not all times does the Department of Transportation do that, where you know, they require them to continue to provide that service until a new carrier comes about. But in this instance, they did. So they have a hold-in order right now that basically requires SkyWest to continue to provide service for the 90 days, and then each 30 days after that, they extend it. That hold-in order, along with that, actually put out a request for proposals to air carriers to provide their proposals in terms of providing service to those communities, those 29 communities. We may or may not get we may or may not get any proposals. It really just time will tell, but it was 30 days, I believe they put it out. It's April 11th, I think, is the date that they had on that. It will become public, you know, to where we are able to review proposals if we get any. Last time we only got SkyWest. The time before that, I'd have to check and see who we got there, but I mean, very there's been predominantly it's been SkyWest, and like I said, this last time it was only SkyWest.
But we're not the only city in Hayes that has the same issue, because SkyWest, wherever they fly, has this. So it's more of a regional issue, and to some extent it's the only option for many people in these areas, but it just doesn't affect us.
No, exactly. There were SkyWest provides service to 49 essential air service communities, and they terminated or provided the notice to terminate 29 of them. And that was really pilot shortage. SkyWest is unique in how they operate. They are one of the big contenders in terms of essential air service. They have the most contracts. They provide the most to the communities, a great, great carrier. I mean, this is not a reflection at all of their reliability or who they are as a company. They've been wonderful to work with, tried to give us what we need in terms of capacity, and worked with us on schedules and flight times and things like that to provide what the community needs here. I mean, really, truly does listen to us, but pilot shortage. With the pandemic, a lot of the mainline carriers had let go a lot of their senior, not necessarily let go, but incentivized them to retire early. So their senior pilots retired. There is an age limit in terms of that type of piloting. They can't, after 65, you know, they can't go past that. So they can't bring them back in. So they're pulling junior pilots, that being from SkyWest. SkyWest flies under Part 121. They're required to have the 1500 hours of flight time. Some of your charter or your 135 operators, they only are required to have 200 hours. So there's a huge difference in flight times that are required to get behind that seat. But I mean, as far as piloting go, they need the same amount of training to fly the CRJ-200 they fly out of here as they do to fly anything bigger. So obviously, it's probably a lot easier for those mainline carriers to incentivize them coming up, or you're going to get paid more to fly something bigger. So SkyWest is unique in that sense, because of how they operate, the regional jets that they use. That it definitely has hit them the worst, because it's probably hard to maintain the staffing. It's hard to keep those pilots, especially when they can move on with the same amount of training, and get paid more. So, I mean, that has created this snowball effect, you know, in terms of it's just going to take them time. I don't think they have any intent of getting out of the essential air service. I think it's been very important to the business itself. But right now they just can't. They're trying to staff, you know, when you're contractually obligated to that, you have to have so many pilots to be able to fly the contractual obligations that you have. What they have done is tagged communities, and they did that throughout COVID too, off and on, but we'll be tagged with Salina. And that's how we were able to add the Chicago flight. So we'll go Hayes, Salina, and then Chicago. And then in the afternoon, just go Hayes to Denver. But they're able to do that. They only need, you know, two pilots to pilot that, meeting the contractual obligations, instead of four, having two jets out here. but again, allows us to have another hub access as well.
Well, none of us want to fly in a plane without a good quality pilot. I can tell you that. No one wants to get on that airplane. But was this a surprise to you guys? Because all of a sudden, it's like this seemed to come out of nowhere for those of us that, you know, are somewhat in the know. But here it is. All of a sudden, we're going to discontinue.
Yes, it was a surprise to us. Like you said, during COVID, I think that they did whatever they could to make ends meet. They petitioned DOT at one point to half the flights. We went down to 6 flights. And communities were supportive of that because we wanted businesses to be able to pull through this. There's no, if you weren't flying anybody, there was no sense in forcing them to, fly the additional flight. So we were supportive of that. I think most communities were, as soon as they were able to, and it's, cost effective to start adding flights, they did. But I think that we were not at all aware that this was coming. No, just because we had those changes. It was this, volatile, is probably the best way to put it out here as far as what schedules would look like. I appreciate, obviously, the community being accepting of that. I mean, some of that stuff, there's nothing we could do about it, but lots of flight changes or, like I said, tagging with other places. At one point, I think they tagged us with Dodge City as well. So it went Salina, Hayes, Dodge City. So I thought that we had seen the worst of it, but I know that we were prepped. We heard a lot about the pilot shortage, prior to this, but I don't think communities know. I don't think the community saw at all this coming.
Well, Jamie, I appreciate the effort. I know that you've put into this, the city commissioners have put into this, to making sure that we have the best of air service in and out of town. And you can see how it's been affected, again, by the number of people, the travelers. Yes. At 15,000 folks in the last year being able to get on a flight and go somewhere. And the Chicago thing, while it's a little different hop, will go a little different direction. So if you're going east, there'll be some opportunities for doing that. And that starts, what, April 3rd?
Yes, April 3rd is when that starts.
All right, let's talk about some other things at the airport. During COVID, there were several federal grants out. And I know there's a lot of activity because I do hang around out at the airport. There's a lot of activity going on and several grants that have taken place. What other things are happening out at the airport?
Yeah, the grants that you talk about, there were relief grants that the airport was basically, airports across the country were carved out. We're able to, we're eligible for some of that grant funding through relief, COVID relief funds. So city got city is part of the airport. We got 3 grants totaling just over $3 million. And basically what we have decided to do with that is you can reimburse operational expenditures with that. And just so everybody is aware, with the boardings that we fly, if you meet 10,000 boardings, you're considered a primary airport, which allows you to have $1 million in entitlement each year. You have to match 10% of that, but basically that's where your big project grants, your capital projects, that's how it's funded. Mainly, and big parts of those are going to be your pavement. It's very expensive to maintain, and there's a lot of it. So that's where the majority of that goes to. But as far as, we were governed within our budget, so you'd have to come up with that money, or if you had banked some of that money over a year or two, you would have to come up with that 10% cost share. So obviously we had to be careful. This is new to the city. We haven't always been considered a primary airport and haven't always consistently met, that 10,000 boardings. Now, since 2008, we've been considered primary, which changes the game in terms of projects out here. So that is probably, Gary, you're out here, you probably see a lot more activity than we've seen in the past because we've been able to do so. With the COVID grants, relief funding, if we are able to reimburse general operating expenditures, basically that floods back into our reserve and we're able to pay for those capital projects. So it looked different on our side too. The beauty of those grants is that we can't use them for anything else. So it is not... you truly have to put it back into the transportation system out here. You have to put it back into the airport. So, for us, that's, you can't, there's no waste there. You identify what you need and how you, I mean, what would be best for the community, what's best for the users out here. Because with SkyWest, I mean, there's lots of requirements that come with that, and with them coming in, them being the Part 121 carrier and all of the regulations they have to follow, that flows down to us in terms of regulations that are required of the FAA. So that being said, everybody benefits from that. I mean, there are users, just because we have to clear snow this way, we have other users that will use the airport during those time frames. It's nice to be available to them because we don't have a lot of that close to us, you know, in bad storms or things like that, where we have the option. I mean, we have the capacity, we have the ability to offer that to any traveling private general aviation traffic.
Have you learned to run a snowplow yet? Because that seems to be one of the bigger issues. So.
Oh, I run a snowplow. I have. if I need to, but I've said many times, if I'm in a plow, there's where it's either a lot of snow or we are short staff, because it really is blood, sweat, and tears when that stuff, when it comes down, as far as maintaining that access and ensuring that we get it cleared. You know, and nothing adheres or anything like that. I mean, you could be closed depending on the weather. You could be closed for days and not be able to get it up. We start as soon as it starts flurrying, we're out there.
So safety is a big part of what you guys do. And we were talking about some of those funds being spent on things like the fence around that actually protects, whether it be airlines or the private individuals flying in and out. That's one of the things that, those are the things that I know you're focusing on, are those safety kind of things.
Yes, definitely. And with the airport improvement plan, the program with the FAA, we have there are specific, it's basically safety and security. So when I say we fly that 10,000 boardings, we're considered primary airport because of that. You're eligible for that $1 million entitlement. It is very governed in terms of what you can use that for. We can't just say, hey, we want a new parking lot. Hey, we want, to expand the terminal, that type of stuff. It is safety and security. So because we fly the passengers we do, we're not eligible for anything that's revenue generating. So we're replacing our fuel farm. We were underground. Now we're going to go to above ground, much safer system. We'll pull the tanks underground once we get that installed, but that's not eligible because it's considered a revenue source. So the city has to come up with that. The airport has to come up with that, or save, you know, for years to be able to fund projects like that. So it's very, very, I mean, it's a lot of pavement, snow removal equipment, the airport rescue and firefighting, or ARF, those things are eligible, those types of vehicles, to service the airport in that way. But, you know, our mowers, our pickup trucks, anything like that, those are not eligible for that funding.
So talk about the projects that you have going. One is a taxiway project, that's going on. There's also a project you're working on that's just to the east side of the airport, where there's some land that you're working to, protect, you know, that property for future use. What's happening on those two things?
We have an apron and beacon replacement that will begin here in the next few weeks. Part of that apron rehab on our as far as the concrete panels and things like that do flow over into the taxiway, or at least part of that will be closed. So there'll be some movement that's changed in terms of that taxiway being closed, which we push out to everyone. Doesn't affect any of the traveling public on SkyWest, but it does affect all of our users as far as having, you know, a portion of the apron shut down. So those are going on. That will be started here in the next couple of weeks and will last into summer. Hopefully they'll make quick work of it. But beacon replacement will be part of that. So they'll take down old, put up the new. It's over 50 years old. So we can't climb it to access it for any maintenance or anything like that. So the new one will be a tip down pole. As far as the land, on the east side, that became available to us. So we ended up purchasing that. But We have to submit, the FAA won't cost share in any anything that we don't have a plan for. We can't say, hey, we just want that land. And they say, yep, we'll do that. There's obviously a series of hoops that that we have to jump through to make sure that we're using it. It'll be airport land. We have a need for it. We have a purpose for it, you know, and a plan for it. So that would be the plan for that. What is approved on our airport layout plan is hangar development, which would basically be an overlay of what we have now. Could that change in the future? It could, but there we don't have a lot of hangar space right now. If it changed, we'd have to identify certain areas for development. If we would do something different with that, but it is now, it makes sense to make that hangar development. That has been the that has been the plan for those that area from the last approved airport layout plan. The FAA has to, basically we have to identify how we're going to use it, and they approve that. But that is what, again, I don't know when that is going to happen. The problem with that is that the infrastructure to, even if we allow private hangar development, the infrastructure to get it there, the taxi lanes and that type of stuff, not even the utilities portion, but the concrete to be able to access those areas, is a tremendous expense.
Well, Jamie, I want to take a quick break here, come back. And there are a lot of people that just drive by the airport every day, maybe go out there, get on a flight and do that. I want to talk a little bit when we come back about the team that makes all of that work. You have a group of people that work hard to do that. We're going to take a quick break, come back. Our guest today, Jamie Salter, who is the airport manager for the Hayes Regional Airport. Back with more after this.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before. Many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond, and those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
Our guest today, Jamie Salter, who's the airport director at the Hayes Regional Airport. And Jamie, you don't have a big staff out there. There's a lot of people go in and out. You see the number of travelers going in and out. There's a bunch of private planes that fly in and out. There's all sorts of activity, but you don't have a big team out there. How many people do you have working?
We actually have myself as the airport director, and then I have somebody in the office, my administrative assistant, and then we have three full-time. We actually just added one earlier this year, big asset to us. And we've added these over the last 3 years. About when I came out here, assumed the position, we only had two full-time employees. But once breaking it out, it's its own department. Now we have, basically we've got five full-time employees and then two part-time employees that we use. Small staff, but pack a punch. And obviously there is a bunch, we're more behind the scenes. There's several other entities out here that make the world go round.
I know every day is a happy day at the airport. But talk a little bit about where somebody goes to find out more about, one, what's going on at the airport. Is there a website you can access to find out what's taking place?
Typically, you'll see those, anything that's big, heavy that we have going out, projects and things like that, we'll do city notices on. They typically go to the commission. They have to because of cost. So you'll see those on any of the news sites just because they cover those. Anything that's pertinent, any notices, anything like that, as far as requests for proposals would be on the city's website. Those will blast out. They put together a new notification system. So if anybody signed up for that, they would go out through there. And then we also typically post those on our Fly Hayes website. It's flyhayes.com. That would be, and anybody also can contact us as well. We can let them know.
Well, it's always fun to watch the planes taking off out of the field there, especially the big jets when they come in and out. It's fun to see that happen. Jamie, thanks for your work. Thanks for the team for what you do to keep our airport as successful as it can be.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Our guest today, Jamie Salter, who is the airport director at Hayes Regional Airport. Thanks for joining us today on Forward Ever. Leading in challenging times is brought to you by Worth Wealth Management, where you can live with confidence. I'm Gary Shorman.
Thanks for listening to Forward Ever, sponsored by Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families. And by Eagle Creative, a full-service marketing agency serving Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri. If you have a great suggestion for a future guest for the program, you can email Gary at gary.shorman@eagleradio.net. That's gary.shorman@eagleradio.net. Forward Ever is a production of Eagle Communications.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. Long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management. Enhancing lives and strengthening families.